These past couple weeks when we've had our snow days, I realized after they were done that I should have been asking the youth to come and play board games with me because I know they like to play board games, and I obviously know that they love nothing more than to hang out with their pastor on a snow day. But I wanted to show you one of my favorite games. It's called Risk Legacy. I might have displayed this before. One of the things about Risk Legacy, though, is you kind of need a snow day to learn it because it's got a lot of rules. It's got a pretty expansive rule book with about some 20 pages in it, and it's a hard game to learn. It takes a while. It's got all these pages to it. One of the tricky things about this particular game is that as you play, the rules actually change. If you were to look at this, you would see some stickers in place. Certain events happen within the game, and so you take these stickers and you cover old rules to make new rules. So you're constantly having to learn what the rules of the game are. And as you play, you also have these player cards. And each player card, there's like 7 or 8 of them, each player card has its own rules that you have to play by as well. It's rules upon rules upon rules, but I love it so much. It's so fun to play. There is a debate amongst my friends and I on one of the games we have played in Risk Legacy, and that is because my victory came, and I guess I didn't play by the rules. Though my debate towards them is we were all playing by the wrong rules, and so my victory should stand. But that particular contest is up for question. When you play board games, you have to play by the rules, and it seems to me that the more fun the game is, the more complex the rules are. But it's hard to know the rules sometimes, and it is easy to break them. There is an established order that you need for the game to be successful. We live in a world that is full of rules, not just for games, but throughout our life. We have traffic laws, we have the laws of the state, we have all sorts of policies and rules before us. God also has rules. He has an established order that He has put in place, the order of creation, that the sun will be in a certain place on a certain time every day, that the earth turns at a certain speed, that the universe is a certain way. There are rules and laws and order to the universe. And more importantly, though, He has also given rules and order and law to His creation, to people, to you and I. He has given us what we often refer to as the law. His commandments, the Ten Commandments fit in there pretty well, but also included in there are laws and rules like love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. These are things that God has given us so that we would live and behave and act a certain way. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that even those who do not have the Word of God have, to some degree, the law written on their hearts. That they know deep down there are things that they are supposed to do and things they are not supposed to do. But there is a problem. And that problem is that you and I and every person on this planet are born with a desire, a tendency to break the rules, to go against the law that God has established. In the New Testament, this is often referred to as our flesh, that we want to live according to the flesh nature of ourselves. And that fleshy nature of ourselves is opposed to God. and opposed to God's order. We'd rather go and do things our own way. God gives his law to provide order for society, but more than anything, his law is there to show us just how far we have gone against the Lord. It is there to condemn us, to show us that we are in fact sinners. Now, Martin Luther wrote this little book, I guess it was probably like a little pamphlet, and in it, I think there's 28 little sayings that he put in there, and sometimes they kind of don't make sense. They kind of contradict each other, but there's an order to them. One of the things he says in this little disputation is he says that the law says, do this, and it is never done. The law says, do this, and it is never done. And basically what he's saying is he's confirming this fact that the law is there, that God's commands are there, but we cannot do them. We can't help but break them. Now, we might not break all of them. You and I hopefully have never committed murder, and though there are people, obviously, that have done that. But as Jesus says in the Gospels, that if you break one part of the commandment, you have violated it all. We all are violators of the law. Now, at the root of this saying, the law says, do this, and it is never done, is this idea that the law, the commandments of God, can't actually produce what they command. For instance, if God says to love your neighbor as yourself, that is a command, that is a law, that's a rule to live by. But that command cannot create in you love for your neighbor. The law might say, love me, me being God. But that command itself does not create love for God. The law says, do this, but it is never done. But even so, God still has these rules. He has a rule book, much bigger than the one for my board game, and he requires his people to live by these rules. It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? We have this law that we know that we are in violation of, and there's nothing we can do to help it. We are bound to our own flesh. And this is why Matthew's gospel and Matthew's story of the birth of Christ is so important for us to have. Because God has laid out these rules for us, and God also abides by his own rules. He has a righteousness, he has a holiness that cannot be violated, and one that we simply cannot reach on our own. So what God has done instead is he has come down to us. He has come in the nature of Jesus Christ, his begotten but not made, eternal Son, who is not born only of the flesh of human beings, but is born in Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because the rules say that any person who is ever born on this world, born to a man and woman, is automatically born into the sin of human nature, that you are born condemned, which is why Jesus has come. Jesus himself plays within the rules, but kind of bends them in a way. Because he comes and is born in our flesh to Mary, but born by the Holy Spirit. He is at the same time fully human, but also fully God. He is Son of Man and Son of God. He is born with our flesh, but not stained by it, nor does he give into it. And because of this, he can go to the cross. And he can take that punishment that we all deserve for our sin and pay for it. He can be raised to life, defeating death, something that our flesh cannot do. This is the beauty of Christmas, and this is why Matthew focuses so much in his short little Christmas story on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He who is God with us, who is given the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves, and Matthew lays it out for us specifically, for he will save his people from their sins. No one else could do this. Only Jesus, who died for you, that you might have life in his name. Let us pray. O gracious and most holy Father, we give you thanks that you have indeed sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for